one of the things we knew is we didn't have an option, because there's a long tail in doctrine and in DOD as a whole, from the time you get a young man or a young woman at the recruiting station and going to boot camp, and then where they're going to go for their MOS school, their AFSC school, which would be here. So that trail begins, you know, that train left the station a long time ago. So we knew they are getting here at a certain date. The Gantt charts cannot move. The school must launch. So therefore, you must adjust your strategy and your risk plan here so that there's nothing that could possibly alter that schedule. You need to make it no matter what. So from a get-go, as I mentioned, some of the applications coming in from what was the existing schoolhouses coming here, we set some rules day one. And we said, if you're bringing in an application that doesn't have an authority to operate on a DOD network, that hasn't been DIACAPPED, we're not even going to bring it. We don't have any time to get into a 14-month, 18-month DIACAP process. It has to be authorized on DOD or forget it. Second of all, from the hardware infrastructure, same thing. It all had to be blessed by DOD. It had to be on an approved list. Same thing with who we use as a contracting office. Everything had to be very friendly to DOD, and we used those business rules to basically remove a lot of barriers day one, and that helped us move very, very quickly. We also partnered with some leading organizations such as MITRE Corporation, who helped us go out to the schoolhouses and audit what kind of applications they were using, what it took to run that classroom, interview instructors, interview students, interview faculty, staff, et cetera, and brought back those, you know, that information to us to help us align our strategy. From the funding perspective, we tried to make sure that we were within our budget with how many numbers of students we had when they would arrive, try to buy the equipment and negotiate hard with the vendors to basically, because it's a bulk buy. When you're buying, we're not refreshing 1,000 computers this year or 2,000 computers next year. We were buying literally, 8,000 to 10,000 devices day one. So that the power of quantity allowed our contracting organization to do some good negotiating there and get some aggressive pricing. And of course, in a down economy, that doesn't hurt as well. So we were able to accomplish a lot with a little. And with very few people, but we're very proud of the results, being ahead of schedule and under budget. And believe me, Brack's very happy too.
Yeah, I imagine, without a doubt. I'm going to go back to something, because you mentioned you weren't going to look at any apps that didn't already have the authority to operate. You weren't going to look at any new technologies, any new hardware that isn't already on the approved list. Did that affect your planning, your strategy?
It certainly did. If those types of processes weren't in place, our IA and DIACAP, which we know why they are in place, and they're very valuable to DOD to avoid any kinds of intrusion and things like that. But certainly I could have implemented technologies that were even far beyond what we actually implemented, because we had to go with things that were already on a list, or so we wouldn't have to start a 14, 18-month approval process, which we had no time to do. So yes, there were certain decisions that came here and there where we had to scale it back and go with another technology that's already DOD-friendly, rather than when maybe some other campus in the private sector is using, because they don't have to do this.
Did you end up having to say, we're going to have to do something differently? I mean, can you give us any kind of maybe an example of where that affected you?
Let's talk about a lot of the online tools. For example, there was a product that the Navy uses in one of the schoolhouses called Question Mark, and it allows to do a lot of the online training and testing and things of that nature. And although it had been used, it never had a authority to operate, never had gone through the DIACAP process. But when you look throughout DOD, private universities, Blackboard was the tool that had a DIACAP, had all the approvals, and was being used throughout DOD on a grand scale, like hundreds of thousands of licenses. So at that point, I had to propose to the business and say, listen, you want to launch on time, you have to go with the products that are already approved by DOD. You have to know when to cut bait. These are the options, or else you're going to have students here, and those tools will not be here, because it's going to be this application you want to use will be in the pipeline to try to get DIACAP approved. So they realized right then and there they needed to go with the product that was approved, that was on the DOD list, it was being used very widely throughout DOD. And by the way, something like 70-80% of campuses in the private sector use Blackboard. So that was one of many instances where we had those kinds of decisions. It's kind of very, very similar to, like, right now I'm sitting on my desk with an Apple iPad, and I'm looking at our site on it and seeing how it configures, because students might buy their own and show up here one day, like they show up today with their iPods. And we wanted to make sure things are very friendly to those devices. However, if this was a private institution, let's say this was any university out there, like I heard a university yesterday bought 8,000 iPads to deploy to their students upon arrival at the school. Something like that would be something I would consider, but certainly it's not a device that's approved yet in DOD. It hasn't gone through the process. It just arrived. So it's one of those things where you can't get everything you desire. You have to play within the constraints of the system.
You know, you're only in your position now for a few more months, and you have that launch date of June 2010. So what do you still need to get done? What are your priorities?
Well, my priorities clearly are to get the classes ready. They're going to launch first and in order of their launching. So we are outfitting right now all the computers that are going to be in the dorms so the students can do training after hours. We're launching all the computers in the classrooms that are going to be launching in June and July and August. We're doing them in order of the classroom standing up. Smart podiums, wireless networks. At Camp Bullis, because it's a field training site, we're actually putting in ruggedized laptops with MC4, that's electronic health record that we use out there in the field, along with a 2-mile radius wireless hidden in the trees out there. So we're doing a lot of exciting things to provide that leading-edge training, along with awaiting the IMIT staff that is slowly starting to trickle in now that are going to be sustaining this. That's pretty much our focus. In addition to that, we're now at the endeavor where we are asking each one of the 5 schoolhouses, hey, give me all your data, all the student files, all the faculty staff files it takes to run a course. Give me all that data. And there's just, you know, terabytes of information that's coming over, and we're starting to load it in our SAN so that all that will be readily available upon faculty arriving here.
All right, you mentioned a couple of things I want to touch upon. 2-mile radius for wireless. How do you secure that?
Well, they have to be encrypted according to the DoD standards. We're using Cisco equipment, and it's encrypted. The 2-mile radius is a coverage area, but there's a lot of wireless access points throughout that area to cover it. It's mostly in the trees and the woods out there where the field training site is. And so DoD has a standard for wireless. That's what we had to comply with.